And the Lord there.
Amen.
Y'all do realize Brother Russell was preaching. Y'all shouting about eating beans. That's all right, though. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. A while back, sitting at the desk at the house, my youngest son Stephen came in and he said our neighbor had come to the door and was asking for our help. We have a really nice couple that lives beside us. They're both lost. You pray for them. But she had come, the wife had come and was asking for our help. And what had happened is she had a bird in a bird cage, and as she was going to clean the cage, she had opened the door and reached in and gotten the paper out and had walked out the double sliding doors. And when she opened that sliding door, that bird flew out. And she said, "Will you please help me get my bird back?" And I thought, it's almost useless. How in the world can you catch a bird flying out in the middle of nowhere? And I thought, well, we'll go. Can't turn her down. So we went to try and find that bird. And from that event that morning, the Lord has put this message on my heart. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. As I went back to the house after that event that morning, I got to thinking about that bird. And somehow in my mind, I thought that bird sat in that cage and he looked at those bars and he looked past the bars, out those double doors. And he saw all the wild birds flying and he heard their bird chirps and he heard their songs and he saw them flying by and he saw them in the bird baths and he saw them and they played together. And I believe somehow in that little bird's mind he thought, "I am so tired of these bars. If somehow I could just get out of this cage. If somehow I could just escape this cage, these bars. I just want to be free. I just want to be like them. It looks so good out there. It looks so inviting out there. I think if I could just get out of this cage, I could enjoy myself. I think if I could just get through these bars, I could have some fun." Listen, verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Somehow in Eve's mind, she had been convinced that God had put her inside a cage. And she looked past those bars and saw something that looked inviting. She looked at something she had not yet had. She looked at something that God said, "Don't partake of." And she looked at those bars and that cage that she felt like she was in, and she said, "If I could just get past the bars, if I could just get out of this cage, I believe, listen, I believe I would be happy. I believe that is beyond the bars would make me happy, would please me. It looks good. It looks satisfying." And this morning I want to try to preach this song. Bars of love. Bars of love. There's no doubt about it. There are some rules in the Bible. There are some things that God says no to. There are some limitations. There are some boundaries. If you will, there are some bars. there's some limitations involving flesh. There's some things that God says you don't need. There's some things that God says you don't go there. You don't do that. There's some limitations involving family. The Bible says to not be unequally yoked. You young people, listen, if you date somebody's lost, you're asking for trouble. But being unequally yoked does not just mean marrying someone who's lost. The fault there is being yoked with an ox and a donkey. They have different temperaments. That ox is pushing, going, and that donkey, sort of like me, kind of laid back. So when you're looking for someone to marry, this Bible warns you, don't look for somebody who's not like you. Look for someone who has the same temperament. I ought to say this, don't look at all, let God send them to you. But there are some limitations. There are some restrictions. There's some limitations. There's some restrictions in this Bible about fun. There's some things that God says, don't do that. Stay away from it. Avoid it. There's no doubt there are some bars. There are some limitations. There are some boundaries. But oh, this morning, I want us to realize those are bars of love. They are limitations because God loves us. Oh, He's not trying to keep us from having fun. He's not trying to make us miserable in the cage He has us bound in. He puts these limitations, He puts these boundaries because He wants to provide and protect and do good by us and good things for us. One of the most enjoyable, wait a minute, back up. The amen, I'm having a good time. The most enjoyable time you will ever have on earth is being in the very center of God's will. Right where He wants you, doing what He wants you to do. Amen. Talk about fun. Talk about enjoying yourself. Talk about having a good time. Those are not bars because God hates us. That's bars of love. Notice what it says in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Will you notice what's happening? These thoughts that Eve is having are not just her thoughts. She's not just sitting around letting her mind wander. There is a deceiver involved. There's a liar involved. Notice what the Bible says about this deceiver. He's the most subtle creation that God had made. That means crafty. That means sly. Here's Eve listening to a liar. Number one, the subtle deceiver. She's listening to a crafty liar. She's listening to someone trying to deceive her. Notice what it says in verse 4 and 5. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you hear what he told Eve? The same thing he tells me and you. God is depriving you. God has you in this cage. God has you behind these bars. He doesn't want you to have fun. He doesn't want you to enjoy your life. But notice, remember, remind yourself. Don't forget it. Don't miss it. He's a liar. He's a liar. Excuse me, but if we listen to a liar, we're dumb. If you listen to somebody when you know he's lying and believe it as the truth, that's dumb. And we do it all the time. The subtle deceiver. Look, Eve. Doesn't it look good? Look at it. Apple, grape, orange, I don't know what it was, but it looked good. That part he was telling the truth about. It did look good. It did look inviting. But she needed to understand something that we need to understand. Listen, hear me. You got to ask Baptists every once in a while if they're listening. Are you listening? Those thoughts in her mind was not hers alone. She was listening to a lie. And those thoughts that you have and I have that suggest that something out there will satisfy us, that's not just our thoughts, that's from the deceiver, from the liar. And the devil is like an undercover spy. The devil is like an undercover spy. An undercover spy is an enemy who pretends to be a friend. And as long as they cannot be discovered, as long as you don't know who they are, they can do all kinds of damage. Once they're open and once they're discovered, their job ends. And the devil's like that undercover spy. He deceives. And he doesn't let you know that it's him. The subtle deceiver. We need to be careful what we think. We need to be careful who we listen to. The devil lied and he said, look what you're missing. Look at what you're missing. And that bird in that cage thought, look at what I'm missing. Look at them having so much fun. Look at the sunlight. Look at the flowers. Look at the bird bath. I am so tired of these bars. I am so tired of this cage. If I just could just get out. If I could just be free. And that's what it was with Eve. Notice verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she looked at the fruit and it looked good. She looked at the fruit and it was something that was pleasant. She looked at the fruit and it was something she desired. Number one, the subtle deceiver. Number two, the selfish desire. You want to know what the devil wants us to do? You want to know what the devil wants us to do? Exactly what we want to. There is within every person here an evil flesh. An old nature, that old man, that old Rick's still in there. Man alive, I'm different. Thank the Lord for the change. But that old Rick's still in there. That old flesh is still alive. That old flesh is still powerful. And that old flesh still despises the things of God, cares nothing about church, cares nothing about prayer. That old flesh still craves the things of the world. Look out there. Look at that. Oh, that looks so good. That is so inviting. And friend, I want to tell you, whether you're 8 or 88, that old flesh is still there. And it's still alive. And it's still strong. And it's still real. And if you think you can overcome it on your own, you are sorely disappointed. And you'll be sadly mistaken. The selfish desire. It looks so good. just simply means it's what I want. But I have a question. What difference does it make what I want? What about what God wants? What about the one who saved my soul? What about His desire? What about His will? What about His plan? What difference does it make what we want? What we want gets us in trouble and hurts God. The selfish desire. It did look good. Bible never suggested it didn't. That we desire in our flesh does look good. But we'll regret ever partaking. The door was open. The cage door was open. And the sliding door at the same time was open. And the bird saw the opportunity and he took the chance. He took the opportunity. And boy, for a few moments, whoo, man, this is wonderful. Do I make a good bird? This is great. Woo! Man, look at all the room. For a few brief seconds, he was having a good time. But suddenly reality hit. And the first thing that happened after he was free, as wild birds began to attack him. Wild birds came after him. Listen. Hey, listen. Oh, I want to mention number one, the subtle deceiver. Number two, the selfish desire. Number three, a sad disappointment. Show me. Show me. Show me the verse. Show me the words. Show me where it says Adam and Eve were so glad they did what they did. Show me where it says they smiled. Show me where they got together later on that night and say, "Oh boy, Adam, I'm so glad we did this. We should have done this a long time ago. Oh, I'm so glad we ate the fruit. I am so glad we took part of it." Show me where it says they smiled. Show me where it says they were glad. It's not there. But I tell you what you will find. You'll find them weeping. You'll find them aware of their sin. You'll find them sorry. You'll find them heartbroken. You'll find them divided. You'll find them broken. You'll find them regretting. You'll find them saying, oh, why did we do it? The sad disappointment of being beyond the bars has set in.
All they did was eat fruit. They ain't
spoken prayer. I'm going there. Sit down. Quit preaching my message. What a blessing. The sad disappointment. That forbidden fruit tastes good. That forbidden look fruit looks good. But I promise me and you both, when we partake, we'll wish we hadn't. It'll leave you empty. It'll leave you alone. It'll leave you broken. It'll leave you an empty shell, regretting that you ever, ever, ever looked past the bars. The sad disappointment. Oh, the bird found out too late. Those were bars of love. My owner wasn't trying to restrict me. My owner wasn't trying to keep me from having fun. My owner knew best. He loved me. She loved me. That's why she had me behind the bars. A sad disappointment is we can partake and we can give in and we can fail God and the devil will be laughing in the background at our stupidity. The sad disappointment. The bird found out those bars were bars of love. They were bars of protection. I got to say it again. The first thing that happened, once that bird got out of the reach of the house and halfway into the yard, wild birds started attacking. Those bars were bars of protection. And God says no. And God says no. And God puts limitations. And God puts boundaries. And God's placed bars in our lives, not because He hates us and He doesn't want us to have fun or enjoy life and He wants us to stay miserable. Oh, He's put those bars because He knows what's beyond them and He's trying to protect us. Listen, that world out there is not our friend. You step out of the world, it will abuse you. It will devour you and laugh at you when you're weeping alone. Those bars were bars of love. Those bars were bars of protection. Those bars were bars of provision. Because the bird was in the cage, the owner could come every day and give it water and give it food. Out in the wild, the owner couldn't protect or provide. Those bars were bars of protection. And God's trying to keep us in a place where He can feed us and keep us clean and keep us satisfied and keep us content. Those bars were bars of love. They were bars of pleasure. The owner several times a day came to the cage and said, "Hello there, hello there." And reached, "Amen, I'm having myself a good time right here. I love it where I know I'm where I'm going and can't wait to get there." That owner would reach through the bars and stroke the bird every once in a while. "Amen, don't you love it when God just puts His hand in? Amen," and strokes him. "I love it when God rubs me. I love it when He pats me on the head." You can't get that outside the cage. You can't get that outside of God's will. Only in the cage, only behind those bars of love, can God give us the pleasure He desires. Could I say this? I can't see that little clock back there anyway. Those bars of pleasure weren't just to give pleasure to the bird. It was to give pleasure to the owner. She enjoyed coming by and saying, "Hey, birdie." She enjoyed coming by and rubbing the bird. Can you understand that the God of heaven enjoys being close to you? He doesn't want us out there. He doesn't want us outside of the cage. He doesn't want us beyond the bars of love because He enjoys having us close where He can fellowship and He can talk and where He can enjoy us. It was bars of love. You see, God's best. Let me say this. God's, wouldn't you like to have God's best? God's best will never be experienced outside of the cage. That cage is not to confine or to bind or to make miserable. It's to keep us in a place where God can give us His best. God promises to answer our prayer, but He will not answer the prayer and does not promise to answer our prayers if we're outside the cage. If we're outside of the center of His will. He promises to provide. He promises to give peace. He promises a lot of things that are conditional. And when we get outside of the cage, beyond the bars, those promises do not apply. You want God's best. You got to stay inside the bars. We went out hunting for the bird. I thought, this is useless. I mean, honestly, there's a bird outside. But the lady's crying, and you don't tell the little lady, sorry, you lost your bird, lady, and go back in the house. That's what I wanted to do. So me and Stephen said, I saw him, he's over there in that tree. So me and Stephen, my youngest son, go and get a ladder and put that ladder up against that tree. I'm talking about like about a 15-foot straight ladder. And I run up that ladder and climb up in that tree and go out on a limb and flip up to another limb and go out on another limb because I see the bird lay out there on that limb. So I go all the way up and I'm going through that tree. No, wait a minute. That was Stephen. I was down on the ground holding the ladder. Hey, but I'm still a hero. Because you don't know, there may have been a snake in the weeds, and I could have gotten bitten any time. Or there may have been some poison ivy, and I could have been afflicted. I'm still a hero. Just because I didn't climb that ladder doesn't mean I wasn't there doing my part. Amen, brother. I did my part. And I thought, Stephen, you are wasting your time. I knew what the bird would do. Sure enough, about time he got 5 feet from the bird. Here he goes again, flying off. And I thought, how stupid. We're trying to rescue you, bird. We're trying to save you and get you back to safety. There's an owner down here weeping. There's an owner down here who loves you. And we're not trying to hurt you. We're not trying to harm you. We're not trying to put you in a prison. We're trying to help you. What the world's wrong with you, you dumb bird? Verse 8. Read it. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. I apologize to the young people because sometimes we teach them not to say this. But that's stupid. I mean, that was the dumbest thing they could have done. They have already sinned. They have gotten out of God's will. And now here comes the Lord trying to help them. Reaching out to them, and instead of running to them to Him and say, "Oh God, we failed you. Oh God, we sinned." Instead of running to God, they tried to run away from God. And that bird did the same thing with Stephen. He flew away. The subtle deceiver, the selfish desire, the sad disappointment, the stupid decision. It's bad enough for us to disobey. It's bad enough when we walk our own way. But when we suffer the consequences of our dumb decisions, and we're suffering because of it, and God comes calling us, wooing us, most of the time, I suppose, instead of saying, "Oh God, I failed. Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, thank you for loving me. God, forgive me. I confess." Instead of doing that, we try to run away from God. And the last time I saw that bird, he's flying across my road out into the far woods. Flying as fast as he could go. And I thought, he's gone. Not talking about losing my salvation or yours. Don't you understand that? Getting out of God's will. And I thought, he's gone. I mean, he disappeared in the distant woods. And the owner looked at me and she said, "What am I going to do?" And I said, "He's gone." Me and Stephen got the ladder. Started walking back to the house. And when we left, that owner was still standing there in the road, weeping and broken, looking at the woods where she had last seen her bird.
And I thought about the prodigal father looking down the road weeping, "Oh, son, please come back. Oh, son, please come back." The farm wasn't a place that was a prison. It was a place where I could give you peace and provide for you and love you. Oh, son, please come back. There's probably somebody here this morning, as I have preached, you thought, "Boy, I'm glad they're here. Because they need this." But could I remind you what Eve did? She took a bite of a piece of fruit. Not a big deal. Could I remind you what Jonah did? Jonah said, "No, I don't want to go to that camp meeting. That ain't my kind of people." And he said no to the invitation. In our day, not that big a deal. Could I remind you what Ananias and Sapphira did? Listen, they told a little fib. In our day, that's not big, too big a deal. But to God, all those things was pretty big deals. I'm not talking to just somebody who's thinking about going to get drunk. That's included. Talking to all of us who long for anything other than the very center of God's will. They're bars of love. He loves us. And He doesn't want us to get out there and hurt. He doesn't want us to lose His peace. He doesn't want us to get to a place where He has to cease providing. He doesn't want to have to get us out there where we're exposed to the elements. They're bars of love. I think my message is summarized by a verse in Lamentations 1:18. Listen closely, I'm done. Hey, I think maybe I got through closing one time today. That's really unusual. Let's see if it works. "I have rebelled against His commandment. Hear, I pray you, all people, and behold my sorrow." He says, "I've disobeyed God. Look, people, see the consequences. See my sorrow." Those bars are bars of love, folks. He wants to be able to give us His best. And when we're out of His will, He can't. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother, you take the invitation.